بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every Muslim, every believer has a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur. The very fact that you have accepted iman, you are linked up. Just as you have a phone and then you get linked up. Right? So the fact that you have iman, that's a chip now. It's a phone card that puts you through to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been linked up, you have been joined up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a gift that every believer enjoys. Then there are those that work upon this and they commit themselves upon this. When they commit themselves, then their association with Allah Ta'ala strengthens. And Allah Ta'ala says about them, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Now, you have got a very advanced level of association with Allah Ta'ala. Before you had a primary level of association, now the association is advanced. إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The Buzurgana Deen will prescribe ways whereby you may get that type of an association. In their experience, in their understanding, they will put you through some procedures. They will look at the individual and they will ask him to go through a certain procedure. He conforms to that procedure, then Allah Ta'ala puts him through. Some of the procedures that they put you through is a procedure of zikr. And zikr, and a collective zikr. So this collective zikr doesn't mean that everybody is reciting in chorus. No, rather, all are seated in one spot and they are making zikr at one and the same spot. Better that they are close together, they don't have to be scattered, one in the east and one in the west, but they are in one place and collected, but they are engaged in their own zikr. So this type of zikr, the hadith also encourages, where the hadith says, when a person remembers me alone, then I remember him alone as well. But when he remembers me in a gathering, then I remember him in a gathering better than the gathering within his gathering. So you understand that remembering Allah Ta'ala in a gathering is also being sanctioned in the hadith. So to say that collective zikr is not sanctioned, not approved in the hadith, then it is ignorance. If anybody is saying this, then it is ignorance. Rasulullah himself had seen the Sahaba Kiram engaged in zikr and he had gone and sat down with them. And the verse of the Quran was revealed, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Remain with those people who call on their Rabb, who remember. يَدْعُونَ, in the Quran Sharif, in the word da'a is used, sometimes it is used for dua, and sometimes it is used for ibadat. The word da'a doesn't only refer to supplication and dua, but it refers to ibadat as well. So, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. This type of gathering is such a blessed gathering that even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been commanded that where there is a group of people engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, then you also join up with them. وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Why is this type of zikr so meritorious, so virtuous? The Quran Sharif speaks about Sulaiman alayhi salam, inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashiyyi wal-ishraq wat-tayra mahshura kullu lahu awwab. Allah Ta'ala had subjected the mountains and the birds to Sulaiman alayhi salam, that when he would remember Allah Ta'ala, then the mountains also would remember. This remembrance was not just echoing. If it was an echo, then it's not something exclusive to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Because if you shout and there is an echo, you shout in a well and there is an echo, then that echo acoustics will appear to everybody, not only to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Any person will shout inside an empty or a hollow or into a well, then it will give, definitely it will give off an echo. So here Allah is speaking about exclusivity, that this was something exclusive to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sometimes you get people that are a little bit apologetic and want to make excuses for miracles and for mu'jizas. That's not the right approach. Say it as it were. It was a miracle, it was a mu'jiza, then say it as it were. Now we try and cover up, say, give a logical explanation to these type of things and shift away from the reality, then it's wrong. Okay? They say that a parrot, nice, beautiful looking parrot, had fallen into the house of an old woman. For the first time in her life, she saw this. Very beautiful, exotic colors. And that thing had fallen down in this old woman's home. So she picked it up and she says, you know, nobody is taking care of you. And your beak is so long, possibly how will you eat? So she began to clip her beak, the parrot's beak. Right? Then she looked at this parrot's claws. It's so big claws you've got, then how are you going to walk? So she began to clip the claws as well. Then she saw that thing's wings are so big. When it stretches out its wings, it's so big. Your wings are so long. And then how are you going to fly? How are you going to walk and all that? So she went to clip that as well. And then she sees now that this thing can't walk, it can't eat, it can't even fly and walk. Because in its understanding, this is what it's supposed to be doing, right? But because it doesn't know the nature of a parrot, therefore she did the wrong thing. She doesn't understand the nature. She doesn't understand how the thing works. She saw it for the first time. In her understanding, this was the right thing. But what she has done is she has made this animal totally useless. It can't eat it can't eat properly, it can't walk properly, it can't even fly properly. So this is a misunderstanding, this is the injustice and disservice that we do to Islam when we try and chip and trim and try and adjust it to our understanding. Leave it as it were, the way Allah Ta'ala left it, the way His Nabi Sallam left it, just leave it, preserve it in that way. Don't make any adjustments, don't trim anything. If we are lazy and we aren't doing something, then rather we say we are lazy, we aren't doing it the way it's supposed to be doing. Rather than cutting it and trimming it and letting it conform to what we would like. Don't do that. So this is what happens when we come across this type of verses and you have a group of people that are apologetic. This group, and they will try and give a logical explanation. When they give a logical explanation, they move away very, very discreetly from a mu'jiza and a miracle. So the modern reader, he reads it as though it is something normal. So the feature of the karamat or the mu'jiza has been lost totally. No karamat now. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about Sulaiman al-Islam and Dawud al-Islam. سَخَّرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ. We subjected the mountains. When he would engage in zikr, then the mountains would also engage in zikr with him. وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَ. Even birds in the air, they will collect together. They will collect together and they will also engage in zikr with Hazrat Sulaiman al-Islam, Dawud al-Islam. So the birds would also be so overwhelmed with his zikr that they would also collect together with his sweet voice and they would also engage in the zikr. The birds on one side, the mountains on one side, and all are engaged in collective zikr. So this is one unique way of making zikr, where a person makes zikr, he engages in zikr with this frame of mind that the entire creation is making zikr with him. He is in zikr, but in that zikr he feels, just to enhance his concentration, improve his attention span, what he does is he feels as though the whole creation is in zikr. Whether it is the masjid, whether it is the walls, whether it is the door, whether it is anything, everything, collectively everything is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the door, even the carpet, even the stones, even the roof, the entire masjid is in zikr of Allah ta'ala. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. As though he is expressing and explaining this verse. In his mind, he is expressing this verse that everything is in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. So, amongst everything else, he is also one unit that is engaged in Allah ta'ala's zikr. So, this is one unique way to gain concentration, to improve one's concentration in Allah ta'ala, that you have that frame of mind, that everything is engaged in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِي وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Admiral Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah explains that this type of zikr, collective zikr, when people are making zikr, but all collectively, one place, one spot, preferably together, not scattered out, but together, why is the zikr so effective? He says the reason for it being effective is that when all are engaged in zikr, then we can well understand what must be going on. See, because each person has got some good planted in him. Allah Pak has blessed every servant with some goodness. Though sometimes we can't pick it up, but he's got some goodness within him. So one person is engaged in zikr and his level of ikhlas must be very high, very, very high. And the other person's love for Allah Ta'ala may be very, very high. And the third person, his level of dedication and sacrifice may be very high. And there may be a fourth person who is making zikr, but his love for Rasulullah must be very, very high. Right? Now, when all of them are collected and they're making zikr together, so what's going on? What's happening is, the nur that is coming from his heart is reflecting onto this person's heart. And the nur that is coming out from his heart is reflecting on his heart. So at the end of the zikr, you are moving on with so many lights. Where he had some good qualities, maybe of the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ikhlas, dedication, selflessness, etc. So that has been reflecting on you. And your good is reflecting on him. So when you are at the end of that zikr majlis, are you moving on with so many lights? So this is why this is encouraged, and this is why they also suggest this type of zikr. That you make zikr, but with that frame of mind, okay, everything is engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. There can't be anything that is as great as the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Wala zikrullahi akbar, that the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. This whole deen and the various practices that we engage in is the establishment of the name of Allah Ta'ala. لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. To establish the name of Allah Ta'ala in our root, in our system, everywhere. Therefore the hadith says that person is the best who's most engaged in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Whether he be a mujahid, whether he be a fasting person, whether he be a person giving out charity, whatever. But the one that has got the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala planted most deeply in him, with depths, then he's going to stand out from the rest of the crowd. Because this is the very essence of life. Now, this becomes so important that the more you're going to drown yourself in this, absorb yourself in zikr, then you lose cognizance of yourself. Right? And if you don't allow yourself to be absorbed in this, then you have got the cognizance of yourself. You have got the cognizance of yourself. Here you have lost cognizance of yourself. And there you have got cognizance of yourself. So, if there is any dini work going on, like you've got i'tikaf, whatever, you've got something going on, right? So the person who's got cognizance of himself, then he'll feel to himself, what are they doing for me? And how am I being treated? Am I being respected? And the person who's got the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala at heart, he'd say, hey, I'm so lucky. You know? To be amongst them, I'm so lucky that I am in a group that is absorbed in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. They have forgotten the world and they are just with Allah Ta'ala. So it is just Allah Ta'ala. The whole goal, the whole theme, the whole direction, the whole focus is only Allah Ta'ala. They have, as though they have forgotten themselves for those moments. So this is why that person that is engaged in zikr, he's outstanding. He is very conspicuous. He is outstanding in whatever effort you are doing, but he has got the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, so he is outstanding in the rest of the crowd. So this is what the Khanqa is aimed towards doing, is to plant this very deep into you. Then you go out in any work that you are doing, now you are outstanding. Whatever work you are doing, you are teaching, but you got Allah Ta'ala's remembrance in your heart. Hazrat Thami Sahib says that when we were in Deoband and learning under our Ustad, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, we would hear sometimes that the echo of zikr would come out from his heart. And when we would leave the class, it would feel as though a person has spent some time in i'tikaf with total dedication, and how he feels after the period of i'tikaf, the cleanliness, the purity, etc. That was the feeling that we would feel after attending his classes. So that was the level of zikr that was rooted in the hearts. Up till the time when we were in Deoband, we used to see that amongst the lowest of workers, like they call them the darban. Darban is the one that is the security, or call him the guard, whatever the entrance is. So you will see that he's got Quran Sharif on one side, and on one side he's got a tasbih. So he's engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Be it that person or be it the principal of the madrasa, but all of them are engaged in zikr. Mullah says, I was shocked at the level of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala these people in Deoband had. That at times Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, who was the founder and who was the ustad and the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Deoband, at times some documents would be brought to him for signing. And he will ask, really he would ask, by what's my name? He is so absorbed that he's forgotten his own name. He is so deep in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. One of Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, that same kayfiyat and same feeling had overcome him as well. It was his grandchild that was getting married. And now he's so deep in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, okay, he asks, by whose marriage is, whose nikah is this? What's going on? So many people, what happened? He said, no, your grandson is getting married. Oh, yeah, lucky you reminded me. And after an hour, 2 hours, again he asked, by what happened? Why I see so many people around? By just now we told you that your grandson is getting married. Oh, yeah, you told me. How many times you people are repeating the same thing? Now, he's so immersed in this, that remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. This is the whole idea, that we get deep, we get absorbed into this. Lillah, fillah, billah. Whatever you're doing, it's for Allah Ta'ala. And وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it's for Allah Ta'ala, it is in his path. One is, it is for him, right? Sincerity. And then it's in his path. In other words, it is not in the path of materialism. It is not in the path of prosperity, material, physical prosperity. It is for him and it is in his path. Billah. And with that frame of mind that whatever I'm doing it by the grace and by the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. So it is for him, it is in his path, and with the frame of mind that it is not only for him and in his path, but whatever is being done is done with his grace and with his bounties. And doing this, it is just his grace. So you're so much soaked into it. You're so much absorbed into it. So this absorption. Two murids were talking to each other and they were discussing their sheikh. One sheikh was Mawlana Raipuri, the other sheikh was Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So one is discussing with the other, okay, you see my sheikh, he takes a lukma, a morsel of food in his hand, and he's so overwhelmed, overcome with the fikr of deen that he's got it in his hand and then he's oblivious of that lukma and he's talking and going on talking about deen. And you see your sheikh, so much of comforts he's living in, good food and the comforts that he is living in. Anyway, this one had no answer. In the next majlis, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah had to give some advice. So Mawlana must have sensed what they were talking about. He says, what do you people know who Mawlana Raipuri is? What do you people know? He says, Wallah, I have heard unke dar aur diwar se een se zikr ki awaz maine suni. From the walls I've heard, from every brick I've heard, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you people know who Mawlana Raipuri rahmatullahi is? So, this aspect of zikr, this can't be overemphasized. You can't overemphasize it. It's the only thing for which Allah ta'ala says there's no restriction. Remember and go on remembering and remember and remember. To the extent even at the moment you are right in the midst of a play with your wife, in the midst, right at the time now, you ejaculating, right at that time, them too, don't forget Allah ta'ala. At that moment, imagine at that time it's only pleasure and nothing before you but pleasure. But then too, well, you can't remember Allah Ta'ala verbally then, but mentally then too you're with Allah Ta'ala. Can you imagine how zikr is so important? At that moment also, at the height of your pleasure, then too you haven't lost sight of Allah Ta'ala. The hadith is saying you must go on, go on, go on to the extent people begin to say that you are mad. It's alright if people say you're mad, but Allah Ta'ala mustn't say you're mad. You mustn't really go off. That anywhere, everywhere, any zikr, you got on tasbih, anywhere, everywhere, you're just making zikr. So, you didn't learn the procedure, you didn't learn what it is all about, and like a mad thing you were doing. So they will call you mad, and Allah also will endorse that you are mad. See? So that's a different thing, because you're not doing it how it was prescribed. You're doing your own thing. See? Apart from that, zikr is about the only thing for which Allah Ta'ala teaches us and instructs us and make this dua. Allahumma ij'alni ukathiru dhikrak. That I remember you in abundance. O Allah Ta'ala, make me such that I remember you and I remember you in abundance. So this must be rooted, it must be seated into the heart. It must be seated into the heart. And when we see what's going around us all over, then we understand the importance of the zikr and the zikr to be taking root into our hearts. Everybody is just material, 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 progress, 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 wealth, wealth, nothing else. Everybody just looking at that. So that's just the outer shell of the world, right? The outer shell of the world is required for the preservation of the world. The outer shell is required. Right? We can't dispute the need for the outer shell. But in the egg, the shell is the shell. You require the shell for the preservation. But if it is just a shell and there is no yolk in it, is there any value? It's just a shell and there is no yolk in that thing, then is there any life? Is there any value attached to it? Now it's just a showpiece. Maybe you have an ostrich shell, it's just a showpiece, nothing else. Can you do anything with it? Can't do anything with it. It's nothing more than a showpiece. So that is needed, but it is just needed as a preservation for this world. So we need the material. Why we need the material? Just to continue with this journey, right? Just to continue with the journey, we require some tools. So this is one of the tools that we required for this journey. But that was not the purpose. Like you need some type of tools, instruments you need to do agriculture, right? But The tools were not the whole aim and the whole purpose and the whole goal. You got so many tools, but you're doing no farming, no production in your land. Then what will you say? You say, lost the plot. You bought so much of instruments you have bought, implements and tools and everything you have bought, but not an inch of work you have done. So what will you say? You know, it's a wasted effort, wasted time, wasted all your energy. So all this is directed in you getting Allah Ta'ala, getting His love, getting His remembrance, seating it deeply, deeply within your heart, to the extent you can. Therefore, they ask you for so much of focus, so much of attention, that you close your eyes to everything else. Everything else just shut down. You have given 350 days, 340 days for everything else in this world. Now you have given 10 days for Allah Ta'ala. And in that 10, 15 days also, then you worried about iftar, what I'm going to eat, iftar time, and what I'm going to eat sehri time, and which friend is here, what must I talk to him, and how must I get along with him. Then you really, that whole purpose is being defeated. So there, just remember Allah Ta'ala. Remember Him, whether in your mind, whether you're completing the wazifa they are giving you, whether you recite the Quran Sharif, but with that frame of mind that Allah Pak has asked me to remember Him. And I'm reading to Allah Ta'ala. He's asked me and He's reciting, and He's what you call listening to me personally. وَمَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ He's listening to me. He's with me. He's present. I can feel His presence. I can feel His presence and He's with me. So that must be rooted so deeply within our system. Now, sometimes we become slightly misled. When we are sitting in this type of a gathering, then we feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. We feel like remembering Him. We feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala. We feel good in this type of environment. We feel encouraged, feel motivated. There is a drive within us, right? So when there is a drive, there is a motivation, there is some type of spirit within us, enthusiasm, and we feel, no, I have achieved it. So there is no doubt that you haven't achieved something. We don't dispute that. But the question is this, that what you have achieved, is this your own personal thing, or is it because of the force of the environment? Is it something that it belongs to you, or it is just the force of the environment that brought this type of mindset? So the test is this, that when you go home, now see if you've got the same feeling. Are you driving, you still got the same feeling. 1 year later, you still got the same feeling. Then you'll say, no, it was a personal thing. Alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying it all the time. See? That remembrance of Allah Ta'ala hasn't declined. There isn't a decrease in that. What it was, it is now the same. There is no decrease in that respect. That is as it were. There is no difference in that respect. In that regard, there's no difference. So you say, Alhamdulillah, you have got it now. So it's rooted in you, and it's very, very deeply rooted into you, that wherever you go, you are going with this. As though that battery is charged, and the charged battery is with you all the time. In fact, it is more than just a charged battery, because a charged battery can die out after a day, 2 days, 5 days, dependent on how much of power it is stored. As though now, it is not just a battery, rather it has been connected, right? It is connected to the electricity. So when it's connected to the electricity, now is there a possibility for breakage, interruption? No interruption now, because it's connected there. The battery, that may fade away after 3 days, 5 days, dependent on the amount of power that has been stored. But now if you connect it directly now there is no possibility. Now you are enjoying that power all the time. The electricity is, the current is coming all the time. So this is what we need to do, is not just have that stored battery, but get ourselves connected so deeply and so firmly and so well that no matter where we are, the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala is so well deeply rooted within your heart. So the first type of nisbat is called nisbata in ikasi. It is just a force of environment. You in that environment, you feel that, you enjoy that fragrance. And you left that environment, that fragrance has also left you. You are in the shop of a perfumer, so you will get the perfume and the fragrance of the different perfumes that he's got for sale. But you will leave the environment, it's gone. It may remain with you for a few moments. You know, he may apply something, or something may just get onto your clothing, onto your body. For a few steps, for a few moments after that, you may get some feeling of that fragrance. But after that, you go to the toilet after that and come out, then everything has left you. Like you left everything else, the perfume also left you there. Right? Everything is gone. So, that is not a lasting thing. Thing is this, that this must be lasting. Okay, so well rooted. لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. That must be a thing that is most salient. It must be the thing that is most dominant. It must be the thing that is prevailing. At any given moment, any given time, it must be the prevailing thing in your whole mindset must be the whole thing. Al-Mu'ad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, sometimes he would be amongst his students, etc., and people will be discussing. Well, I was a very friendly person, so in his gathering, sometimes you find people discussing things, politics, whatever else. And they will look at Hazrat Muhammad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, and after half an hour or something, you will realize that he wasn't with them. He was somewhere else. He will be meditating and he'll be gone. He's gone somewhere else. So Murad to thei nahi ya. Murad wasn't here at all. He was somewhere else. You people were for the politics and he was for zikr. For the idhar udhar baate. For those type of gossiping and discussing. You people were for that. But Murad wasn't here. He was gone. He was in Allah Ta'ala at that time. So no matter what you people were discussing, but he was somewhere else. But as I explained, this comes with training, with guidance and with direction. It doesn't just come like that. People want, anyhow, I make zikr and I'll get that. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work out. You have to have that type of direction. Now, you see a note, right? It's paper, right? It's paper, nothing more than a paper, right? So you take a similar paper, identical paper, and you present it. Will you get any value for that? Say, no, but this is paper, that is paper. Why can't I get a value for this? Say, no, it must have that government, the mint's endorsement. If it's endorsed by the mint, then it is acceptable. So the endorsement is so important that government must endorse it. It must come in that same silsila, it must come in the same chain, it must come in the same way for that thing to get that value. So that zikr has to come in that same way. How it came from above, it came from one to the other, it must come in that way. When it comes in that way, then that thing has got government approval, it's got that endorsement. When it's got that endorsement, now it's got its value. It's not endorsed, then it doesn't have its value. Then you're doing your own thing. It's not possible, I don't say it's impossible that you don't get it. It's a one in a billion chance, one person may just work out. One person may just work out, and that too also because of some Buzugaradin's dua, and he came right. But it's not a rule. Like, you see a person that became a specialist, right? He's leading in his department, he's leading, right? So you ask him how you became a specialist, how you specialized. He says, no, I had to go to school, I had to go to university, I had to go for my internship. Then I had to go and specialize under some doctors, so many people, and they approved of me. Then I went and I did so many cases. Now, alhamdulillah, I'm at that level where I'm recognized, right? So this is the procedure. But it is possible that one person did his own experiments, everything, and he came to that level. Isn't it possible? Logically, it's possible. But does it happen? It doesn't happen. You have to go through that whole process to become recognized, generally. Maybe one in a billion, one person just shot it and he got it like that. He came right. One in a billion. And that also, I said, because of force of environment. One person was showing me an article that in Cape Town, Grootskier, you know. So, some of the more complicated operations, when Grootskier just started off, so that specialist had one attendant. He was his attendant doing all his menial job, T-boy and all that. But that T-boy of his had learnt it so well he learnt it, so the doctor could go away and let him continue with all the operations. And he learnt it so well that even those doctors that were in internship learning the whole procedure, they were asking, how do you cut here, and how is this cut, and how is this done? And he would show them precisely, exactly, he would show them. Right? Now, this person here, this tea boy, he got blessed because of what? Of his own talent, or because of the company? Because of the company, he came through. But because of the force of the company, he was in that company all the time, he had a mind for it, eventually he got a know-how, he experimented and he came right. That even other students that are coming up, they ask him for guidance. So that is because of the force of company. Now someone says, no, you don't need to go for internship, you don't need to go to university, you don't need to do all this, you can become also like how they became. But then obviously, you are just chancing, you're escaping the whole thing. See? So you want Allah Ta'ala and you want the zikr, you want the remembrance to be rooted in your heart, to be established in your heart, is a procedure. You follow the procedure, inshallah, you will get through. How others got through, you will get through as well. But you have to follow that procedure. In Nizamuddin, up to the time of Mawla Ilyas Sahib, then Mawla Yusuf Sahib, then Mawla Inamul Hasan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, they would make it a point that zikr is carrying on. 2-3 hours, it's carrying on every day. As Mawla Inamul Hasan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Mawla Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi, put him through a training. At the beginning, he used to be engaged in zikr for approximately 8 hours on end. One stretch, 8 hours. And he says that the zikr took such an effect on me that on a very cold, icy winter's morning, my body used to be so cold that they had to throw 3-4 buckets of cold water over me. And when they would throw from my head, by the time it reaches my feet, again it's warm. I used to become so heated up with that zikr. So this is the missing ingredient in this age. When we see what's the missing ingredient, there's this work carrying on, that work carrying on, other works carrying on, madrasa, khanqa, jamaat work, everything carrying on. So what's missing? Why aren't we seeing the type of effect that we would desire? When we analyze the thing, the missing ingredient is that zikr. We don't have that remembrance. So there isn't that flavor. We've got so much, we've got the abundance of it. But that flavor is not there, that color is not there, that flavor is not there. Therefore, it's not being purchased. Like you got that mince, right? You got that kebab mince. But it is just raw mince, you haven't flavored it, you haven't prepared the thing, you haven't done it like how it's supposed to be done. It's kebab mince packed up in your freezer. But it doesn't have the spices, it doesn't have the real ingredients in it, it is not heated, etc. Now, if someone is going to take that mince, put in his mouth, what will he do? Will he swallow it in, or will he throw it out? He's going to throw it out because there's no flavor in it. There's no flavor, there's no enjoyment in it, there's no satisfaction in it. But it is mince. You will not dispute that it's not mince. But because there's no flavor, there's no enjoyment, there's no hawat in that thing, so you're going to throw it out. But now you put the ingredients in it, now it's got that flavor. Hey, give me some more. Give me some more. And some more I want, see? And that shop is being recognized. Hey, this shop here, it will give you the right mints, samosa mints or that type of mints, it will give it to you. So it's being recognized, people are talking about it, why the flavor was added, that ingredient was added. So what is missing, we'll have to analyze, but unbiasedly. Unbiasedly, with a clear mind, not because of consideration and convenience. Many times you're doing some dini work, but consideration, convenience. I don't say that consideration is not required in dini work. Sometimes you need to make consideration, but a consideration is a consideration, it's not a goal. We did some considerations for that person, all right, so, but that's not the goal, it's not the direction. Direction is something else. Direction is Allah Ta'ala, and His remembrance must come deeply, very deeply rooted into your heart. There mustn't be a moment where Allah Ta'ala is not in your heart, is not in your mind. Now, when that is done, now your namaz is different. Your tilawat of the Quran Sharif is different. Your umrah is different. Everything is different. Your going to Madina Munawwara is different. Every step of yours is different. Before it was different. Before you're just going through the motions, going to umrah, Makkah, Madina Munawwara, namaz, Quran, finish. You're just going through the motions. And now it's real. As though you connected, now you're talking. It's real. You're talking to Allah Ta'ala. Before it was just an illusion. Before it was just an imagination. Before it was just going through, you were just going through some type of phases and some motions. Now it's real. Now it's true. Like, how to explain you? It's a little bit of a rough example, but without this type of examples and illustrations, you can't seem to absorb the concept, you see. They told one, Hafiji, you must get married. You know, these young children now, they want to play some prank. So they told the Hafiji is blind, he's a blind ustad, now he's teaching them, and he's not married. Young boys are 14, 15 years of age, 17 years of age, they are asking that, Hafiji, you must get married. He said, no, I'm blind. And no, you must get married. They're insisting, you must get married. So eventually, with all the encouragement and all the, he got married. So now, they told him it's the most enjoyable thing. So the morning, when they looked at the Hafiji, he said, hey, he's looking very miserable, man. Very, very, Hafiji, what happened? He said, you all told me it's so enjoyable, so tasty. I put the bread and I tried to rub it and I'm eating it. No taste at all. Absolutely no taste. You're wasting my time. You know, I went through such a big exercise of getting married, spent so much of money, mehar, all that. And this is what I got. I got loaded, I got nothing. There's no enjoyment in this. What are you talking of enjoyment? So now they can't say directly what you must do now. Hafiji, nahi, wo marte hai. You know, you have to strike, you have to hit. So, by the morning, the Hafiji got so angry with his students. He said, I went and hit that woman. The whole village was there by my door. He said, what's wrong? Yeah? It's a wife bashing. What are you doing here? The whole police was nearly about my door. Now they're thinking, how to explain this, Hafiji. So they had to show it exactly, graphic explanation how it's done. So anyway, the third day, now when they saw the Hafiji, he's got such a broad grin, smile from one ear to the other. He said, why did you tell me earlier that this is what's supposed to be done? So before that, it was just a concept. Before that, it was just a concept. He didn't know what it was. You know, they say that little girls, 11, 12 years of age, so they're talking about marriage. So now, within them, they had an agreement that, you know, marriage, we don't know what it is all about. We don't know because we haven't gone through that whole experience, so we don't know what it is all about. He's still immature, 9, 10 years of age, and talking about these topics, they're seeing what's going on. So they had an agreement that the first of us to marry, she must explain what is the enjoyment, what is the experience, what it is all like. So anyway, one of them got married. So she gave it in a little bit of a poetic language. It says, you know what, you want the experience, you have to go through it yourself. You can't be able to experience this and enjoy this without going through it your own self. So this is zikr now. What is we heard of it, right? We heard of it. That's a concept, right? It is just an illustration. It's a concept. We haven't gone through it ourselves. So when we haven't gone through it ourselves, we don't know what the taste is like. We don't know what the flavor it is and what we are missing. And therefore, this life becomes so boring. It becomes so meaningless. It's so void. We're doing everything, but there isn't that meaning to our life. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, see, Allah Ta'ala has created different faculties in the body, right? And every faculty has got a way for its own satisfaction. The ear will get its satisfaction by listening to good voices. Good voices, etc., good stories. The ears get a satisfaction. It feels a fulfillment, right? Right. The eyes also get a fulfillment, seeing good things, good pictures, whatever else, good sceneries. Right. Then the eye also gets its fulfillment. So some good sceneries, good people, good pictures, etc., it's got its fulfillment, right? Then the nose also gets its fulfillment with good fragrance, clean, fresh, crisp air, it gets its fulfillment. So that's the fulfillment of the nose. Then the tongue also gets its fulfillment with good taste, enjoyable food, etc., it will get its fulfillment. So each fulfillment is unique. Now, if you take a bottle of very good fragrance, most expensive oud or perhaps rose or whatever else, right? You take that and you put it by your ear. Will the ear get its fulfillment? No. It will not get its fulfillment. Why? The fulfillment is here. So if you take it into the next faculty will not give you the fulfillment. By the same token, if you take, for example, a very good curry sub, very, very good curry sub, and he's seedy, and he's, right? And you block off your ears completely, you take his seedy and put it by your eyes, will you get any satisfaction? No satisfaction. You say that it's so good and all that, it'll bring you so much of happiness. I try to put it by my eyes, no satisfaction. No satisfaction. By the same token now, you had so good food, so much of aroma and so well prepared and all that, right? And you took that food and you put it by your ears now, right? You want to feel that satisfaction. Will you be able to get that satisfaction? You can't. Why? Each one got its own faculty for you to be able to experience that enjoyment. Right? So when every faculty and every department has got its own way, own usul, own way to get its fulfillment, then the heart also has got its own unique way to get its fulfillment and to get its satisfaction. Like the nose had its own way, the mouth had its own way, the ear had its own way, the eye had its own way, all for satisfaction, all for happiness, all for enjoyment, all for fulfillment, right? You know, you got a lot of kitabs, contentment of the heart, contentment of the heart. But now, what is contentment? Nobody knows about it. We're just doing as though we're going through phases. We're going through motions. Therefore, you don't find the contentment. The more they're printing those kitabs, the more people are finding dissatisfaction. The more they're printing the kitabs, the more people are finding dissatisfaction. Therefore, the levels of depression, despondency is just going and escalating all the time. Fighting, feuds, misunderstanding, depression, all that thing is just increasing all the time, escalating. Because they don't find the satisfaction. They don't find the contentment. They don't find the fulfillment. There is a void in whatever they are doing. So why is there the void? Is the heart is also craving, like the eye was craving for something, you gave it. The nose was craving, you gave it. The mouth was craving, you gave it. The ear was craving, you gave it. But the heart was also craving for its satisfaction, but you deprived it. When you deprived it, now it's crying. It's crying. It's crying. Now it's coming to a point of frustration. I can't manage it at all. So no, you carry on. You disregarded the heart. You paid attention to everything else, to the need of the ears, you paid attention to the nose, you paid attention to the eyes, to the mouth, you paid attention. But then the heart was also crying that I want my satisfaction. You know, each one had its own nourishment. The eye had its nourishment, the ear had its nourishment. So the heart is saying, but I need my nourishment. Where's my nourishment? You say, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're taking that fragrance and putting in your eyes, right? So you're putting that fragrance by your heart. Or you're taking those notes and putting those bundles by your heart. And you want that heart to be satisfied. So that heart is saying, I'm crying now. I'm reaching the point of desperation. I'm already in Sakrats. I'm already starving. Take the notes. Let the notes give you that satisfaction. So exactly the same, like you're taking that good, nice prepared meals and putting by your ears. You know, you'll say, what an unintelligent thing to do. So the same, you're putting all these things here, putting by the heart, and you wanting the heart to get its satisfaction, it's not going to come right. The heart got its own unique way. It's got its satisfaction, it's got a way for its satisfaction, you'll have to do it. As you try it out and you go into it, and as I say repeatedly, in my analysis, where I see what's going on, my analysis, this is the problem of the day. This is the weakness of the day. This is where the whole problem is stemming from. We have gone and explored in every direction. We've accumulated the physical so much, and we've accumulated and heaped it up. Now it's at a point where it's rotting and decaying. Right? So much, it's all decaying. But the heart, we have starved the heart. When we starve the heart, Now, we want that satisfaction, we want that enjoyment, we want that meaning in our lives. As Shah Waliullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that this whole exercise that we are doing is like ruh fil jasad, is like the soul in the entire body. This whole zikr what we're talking of is like the soul in the body. It's like the life in the body. Otherwise, that body is lifeless. That lifeless body, is it valuable? Not valuable at all. It's not worth anything. It's lifeless. So just add this ingredient of life. Bring that life. I mean, there must be a reason why the hadith said it so clearly, so vividly, that the one that remembers Allah Ta'ala doesn't remember like life and death. We talk about the hadith, but there is just a, it's just a routine. We just read the hadith, finish. I don't analyze it. We don't understand. We don't absorb it into our minds. We don't take it seriously. We just repeat and finished. Do we take it as serious? That these are the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's got a deep meaning. So do we take it as serious? One person is going to meet his sheikh. En route, he had to stop over to have a rest. And while he's lying down under the tree, he hears the birds talking. So one bird is talking to another bird, that this is a very, very strange type of musafir. He's going to meet a dead sheikh. He's going to meet a dead sheikh. You ever heard about any person going to meet a dead sheikh? His sheikh died, now he's going to meet him. Anyway, he got a shock. The birds are, what are they talking about here? So he came up to his sheikh and he's very disgusted. So in that disgust and distraught frame of mind, he says, his sheikh, you know, these birds also began to speak lies now. Before we heard of people robbing, cheating, misleading, talking lies and all that. Now these birds also talking lies. So what happened? So no, this is what they were discussing. So around which time they were discussing this? So around this time. So yes, what they were saying is right. At that moment precisely, I was ghafil. I was not in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. I was doing something stupid things. Like how someone doing chess and drafts and, you know, pastime, this type of pastime, you totally divorced, separated from Allah Ta'ala. So I was engaged in something like this, which was keeping me away from Allah Ta'ala. So the birds weren't speaking a lie, they were right. That ghaflat is equivalent to death. That ghaflat is equivalent to death. So this is that missing ingredient that we need to first understand. See, when you want to bring something into your life, first you have to understand that this is a missing thing. Right? You have to acknowledge it. Right? Like, you know, you go to one doctor, he says, no, you've got a heart problem. You carried on, say, oh, this doctor is just guessing. He's an ordinary GP. So what he knows? He's a GP now. He's just chancing now. One of the 100 chances, he has to make it serious. You know. So he's just an ordinary GP. So what? So you didn't, in Gujarati they'll say, you didn't gunkow him. You didn't take him serious, right? You didn't worry about him. You didn't take him serious. One of those things. Then, after some days, the pain began to escalate. Now you go to a specialist, and he puts you to all that machines and whatever machines he needs to put you in. He says, confirm, no, heart problem. So he said, yeah, I need to do something. So from this point, from the point that you acknowledge, you recognize, you identify the problem, from that point, now you can go through the healing process. Because you identified, you recognized, you acknowledged. But if you didn't acknowledge the problem, is there any possibility for you to be treated? You didn't acknowledge the thing. I don't have a problem. The doctor is just speculating. It's just his chance. It's one of the guesses that came to his mind. He didn't have any other explanation, so he says, no, I've got a heart problem. So you didn't accept and you didn't acknowledge. You didn't acknowledge, so you can't get a treatment. You can't go forward. So that's the first point we need to understand, that in this day and age, one of the greatest problems is that we have made a calculated effort to take Allah Ta'ala out of the equation. Look in the circular schools and look at the newspapers, right? All magazines come out. Right? It's an effort to take out the name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mustn't be spoken about, he mustn't be recognized, he mustn't be spoken about, not at all. That's what you mean by circular, a godless state, a godless school. Right? So it's an effort. You drive yourself in one direction to take Allah Ta'ala out of the equation completely. So over a period of time, you begin to think like that. You're listening to the radio and newspaper, everything is the same. So when you're reading the paper, you're looking at the newspapers, you're listening to the news or you're viewing whatever, so that is taking its toll on you. Then you begin to think like that, you begin to reason like that. So Allah Ta'ala becomes more and more and more remote. Right? When it becomes more and more remote, now your life becomes meaningless. There's no meaning to your life. Now you're feeling bored, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling there's a void within you, you're feeling dissatisfied, you're not feeling the peace of the mind. But where is this all coming from? It's coming from this point. When I scrutinized this whole thing, I found that this is the point it's coming from. But it's very strange that we don't recognize that this is the problem. It's the heart of the problem, it's the root of the problem, the zikr, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, in the right way, not just which way, whatever we think. The right way to get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So, So everything has got its unique way of fulfillment, satisfaction, completion. You give it, and it will find that satisfaction, it will find that fulfillment, it will find that enjoyment. And Allah Pak has made it such, okay, this is such, okay, everybody can do it. It's not only for the Mulana that is in the madrasa, no. Person is in the business, Allah Pak speaks in the Quran. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. They are so immersed in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala that their businesses, high profile businesses they're doing, millions and billions, but that doesn't distract them from Allah Ta'ala. Not over a second. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. It doesn't distract them. So they're so immersed into it. The first thing Allah Ta'ala speaks about, لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So this is where we have missed out. That remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Bring it, enter it into the heart, admit it into the system, and establish it, cultivate it. Actually you have to cultivate it. You know, you cultivate a thing, then you don't just get the fruit of it straight away. You plant the thing, the fruit of it will take time to surface, right? You start off a business, you don't just get the thing flourishing straight away. Then you start it, you have some mehnat and effort and all that, remove all the hurdles, eventually that thing takes on. And then it goes on, mashallah, the amount of attention you pay to that business, then that thing takes on, you know, any business. You pay attention to it, you serve the business will serve you. Doesn't it happen? Don't you say that you have to service it, you have to commit yourself to it, that thing will service you. But you're not showing the service, you're not showing the attention, then how that thing is going to service you? So that zikr has to be implanted, it has to be serviced, it has to be rooted, it has to be cultivated. Then you see how it takes on. Then you see the fruits of it. See this verse, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. These people Allah speaks about, whose hearts are filled with nur, nurun ala nur. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Where they are found? They are found here in the masjid. What is the feature? The feature is this, that nothing distracts them. No matter what type of gathering, what type of people, but they're not distracted from Allah Ta'ala for a single moment. So this is what we need to get into a system. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasifun.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To discuss some of the adab and etiquette of the masjid, that when coming to the masjid, then preferable that a person performs his wudu before coming to the masjid and performs the wudu at home. Then a person should apply itar on his clothing, and he should also wear good clothing and clothing that will be presentable. If there is any foul or bad smell that is coming out from his mouth or from his body, then one should ensure that that is totally removed. And then he should make his way to come to the masjid. Then when coming to the masjid, one should not come running and hurrying, but rather one should come calmly. And upon arriving at the masjid, if one has come with a vehicle or a car, then one should ensure that it is parked properly, not obstructing any traffic or not obstructing any person's driveway, but the person should park it in the designated area. Then when removing the shoes, then remove them and place them in the shoe racks or wherever the place has been designated for the shoes. one shouldn't place it in the pathway where people would tramp over and it would cause some type of taklif and inconvenience to them. Then upon entering the masjid, enter the masjid with the right foot, reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah, and then the masnoon dua, Allahumma ftahni abwaba rahmatik. Then if there is time that is available and it is not makruh time for namaz, then one should perform two rakats of tahiyyatul masjid. Then when coming into the masjid, then one should not look for a space at the back of the masjid, but to fill in the gaps from the first serve, and then to the second serve, and so forth and so on. Then once one has entered the masjid, then begin in some type of ibadat, whether tilawat, zikr, etc. But one should make sure that he does not cause any disturbance to the others that are in the masjid. For example, it is a time of itikaf, or even if there are other musallis in the masjid, then the zikr shouldn't be so loud, or the tilawat shouldn't be so loud, that others are disturbed. Then when a person enters the masjid, then he should make the niyat of nafil itikaf, that for the duration of time that he would be in the masjid, then he would be remaining in the state of i'tikaf. Then one shouldn't engage in any futile and layani talks in the masjid, nor should a person just while away the time, but rather he should use the time constructively. And in the masjid, if a person is not in i'tikaf, then one should stay away from eating, drinking, etc. And once a person has completed his salah and now he is about to leave the masjid, then he should leave the masjid with the left foot, reciting again durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the masnoon dua, that Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik.